Let's talk first of all about how do you balance poker? How do you increase performance? What kind of hobbies to pick up? What kind of things to do aside of playing poker in order to increase your poker performance? And the first thing that comes into my mind when I read this question is that you shouldn't put poker as the center of your. There is a clear danger that people are doing that. There's a real threat, because when you become really obsessed with the idea of becoming the best poker player, on the one side, you might become much better playing poker, but getting really good at poker is not your life goal, or in my opinion, at least, it shouldn't be, right? It should be a tool that you're using in order to enrich your life, or it should be a tool that allows you to make money or experience something in a positive manner that gives you more confidence, more life joy, and therefore increases the quality of your life. And that, I think, is the ultimate goal at the end of the day, to use poker as a tool to increase the standard of your life, the quality of your life. And I don't only mean monetary, but also, you have successes, you have wins, you are improving, you're consistently moving towards improvement within poker. And I think that's a great thing and helps you to be happier, but it's not the ultimate goal. It's just a side effect or something that you do in your life. It's not life in itself. And I would treat the things you do away from the table the same way. They are individual things that are just adding to your life quality. So that's how I handle it. When I think about working out, when I think about socializing, when I think about taking time off or being in the sun, or eating healthier, I don't do these things for poker because poker is not the center of my life. It is a very important part of my life, but it's not the center focus. And I think there's a real threat if you put poker first, or not necessarily first, because first could be fine, but if you put it as the ultimate goal and you basically calibrate everything around in your life around just performing the best way possible at poker, I think that gets you into a pretty dark place potentially, specifically once you're in there for a couple of years. So what I would recommend is instead of limiting yourself, because that's really what it is, to just becoming the best player in poker you can be, trying to look at life in a more rich way. There are many more other things you can do, and certainly picking up all these things at once is not going to be beneficial to your poker career, and more importantly, it is going to lead to disappointment in your poker career and also in these other areas because they don't get enough time or enough attention. So you need to pick your battles basically when it comes to what you want to do in life and where you want to go. And I think it really all starts off with becoming clear of your goals and understanding also what is actually increasing the standard of your life, the quality of your life, what is enriching the experience you have right now in your lifetime, basically, which you have right now in this life, so to speak. And for me, those are a lot of things that are also absolutely not related to time, money, efficiency, anything around the idea of becoming more of a performance machine within poker. There are things that just make me happier because of different reasons. I mean, there are lots of reasons why you could be happy, right? And I think you have to start detaching the things you build in life and experience in life from money and also detach them from poker. We are all human beings, and we have emotions and we have goals and desires, and we also have desire for balance, and we have desire for different experiences in life that are go outside and beyond poker, of course. And we all have these desires around socializing and experiencing love, experiencing friendship, but also just being successful outside of poker in different variations. It could be creating good coffee or being good at sports or being fit or healthy or being knowledgeable of other things. And it could be all these things combined as well. It really depends on you as a person and also on your preferences and skill sets that you have. But what I would suggest is to think about your life in a much more broader and richer sense. Like poker is one part of it, and you have to dedicate a lot of time to poker in order to be successful, specifically if you want to make a lot of money playing poker. But at the same time, don't attach all the other activities in your life to poker. Like some things in life, you do them because they are just good for you as a person. That's it, and that's way better or way more important than being good for you as a poker player. I wouldn't identify actually as a poker player. Poker or playing poker is something you do. It's not someone you are. You are just yourself, and the ultimate goal is to live a life that's worth living, right? And I think what makes a life worth living is that you have meaning and you have depth and you have a richness of different possibilities and things you experience. And in order to do that, you need to actually actively get into those situations and do something for it. And I certainly experienced in my life in my 20s, now I'm getting 31, that I was trying to be too much a poker player and really identify with that very strongly without really understanding that I could be so much more at the same time and I could experience life from a much more broader perspective, which gives me much more joy and much more balance as well. And I think that leads you sometimes to dark places, but it's quite natural as well, because as human beings, we are spending all our lives at the end of the day trying to get identity, right? Once, from the moment we are born, basically, we're trying to gain identity. And I think poker is a tool that is specifically attractive to young individuals like myself when I was 20 to 30 years old, to use poker as an identification tool. I'm a poker player, or I'm a poker professional. That's something you do and not who you are. And it took me a long time to actually realize that. But once you do realize it, you also see all the other colors of life, so to speak, and understand them individually as valuable components to your life. So working out is good for you. It's not good for poker. That's a side effect, and that's great. It might be good for poker, not always. If you work out for 3 hours a day and you're that tired coming back home, that's a great feeling, and that is going to increase your health, and it's going to increase your happiness as well. But you shouldn't play poker afterwards. You should still do it, though, if you enjoy it, because it's good in other aspects of life, right? Spending and socializing a whole evening with people who have nothing to do with poker, it's not going to help you in your poker career directly, at least, but it's going to lead towards more happiness or openness in your mind. You get some new inputs. You get to meet people. We're social creatures. That's things we naturally desire. So I would definitely not forget about these things, basically, and include them into your life. I found for myself the biggest difficulties I have and had with life now, less than back when I was, let's say, 25, is to find this balance. It was to also work on other areas in my life. And I think there's a real threat to that, because you end up realizing it potentially too late. And when you realize it too late, you're at a dark place and it's hard to work yourself out of it, because you neglected all the other areas so strongly. You might not have anymore as many friends, or also you become kind of a weird person. You know, I know some poker players that are socially kind of awkward because, in my opinion, because they never paid enough attention to these other skills in their life and just go out and meet other people and develop other skill sets and also be interesting, you know, be interesting in a sense of, if you become knowledgeable, if you have topics to talk about, if you know stuff outside of poker, you can start conversations. You can start have legitimate conversations with other people outside of poker. And I think that's important. And it's important to communicate, to be understood, and also understand others. It's hard if you're 10 years in poker and you just focus on poker to actually be socially strong, or if you know, or have a strong suit in being social with other people that are outside of poker. And it's hard to build friendships afterwards. So don't neglect those other parts in life. Don't make poker the center of your life. It is a big part, but it's not who you are. And it's also not the center or goal of your life. And I can tell you that it doesn't matter how good you will become in poker. It will never fulfill you in it, like reaching that destination. If you enjoy that journey and you have a good balance, so you will also enjoy the journey long term, that will give you satisfaction because you're consistently improving and having progress in life and in poker as well. But just sacrificing years of your life in order to reach the pinnacle and then being able to say, I'm really good at poker, but I neglected all the other areas, that will lead you to a dark place. And I just want to prevent that for you guys. I mean, everyone has their own life and has to figure out what they prefer themselves. But all I'm saying is, there's so much out there for everyone. Even if you want to be successful at poker, there's so many other areas to work on and become better at. And from 25 to 31 now, what I learned is to balance those things by paying attention to other areas and also look at them in a useful way, in a valuable way. I'm going to wrap up this topic here in a second, but I just want to give you one example that I recently experienced, right, in my life. So we have these cats at home, right? And they're amazing, of course. It really improved my life quality tremendously. They didn't make me better at poker, by the way, but they definitely improved my quality of life. And these cats, they go outside because we really want them to go outside, but also they can't go too far right now because they're still kittens. So we had to build this fence, and my girlfriend bought this huge fence, and it has like multiple wooden, it has like multiple elements basically that you have to plumb into the ground, and you have to build it by hand and whatnot, right? And first, when I thought about this, and she asked me, "Can you help me?" I felt like, well, it's not really efficient. Like, well, why don't we just pay someone, or why don't you just do it? And I don't really want to do that. I could do something more efficient, something more around poker, right? But then I kind of convinced myself, why don't just start trying to do it and help her? So we went outside and we built this fence for like 2 hours, and it was in the sun and we were sweating, and at the same time, getting a good amount of sun as well. And the positive emotions you have afterwards really showed to me that there are other measurements of value than just money or efficiency or effectiveness or EV or anything around poker. Basically, there's true value, legitimate value in just building something, even though if it doesn't make sense time-wise. I used 2 hours to build this fence, and I could have done something else in that meanwhile that could have made me more money, but doesn't mean that it would have been the better choice in terms of life choices. So all one wants you to make you realize is that life is not like a poker equation. It's not just like this is 3 EV and this is 4 EV and therefore this is the rational better option, because that's not really how your hormonal system is going to work. You need balance. You need other areas to focus on and improve on, and in order to have a rich life, a meaningful life. And if you have a meaningful life, if you have a rich life, if you feel happier more often and have a sense of purpose, you will be more focused and happier while you are at the poker table or while you are working on poker. And I think that is more worth than spending additional hours cramping out poker content when you don't really feel like it, because A, you either have done it for too many hours in a row, or you don't have that life balance or something to look forward to after you've done the poker. I've actually by accident put on this shirt, Beyond the Grind, right? Excel Beyond the Grind, guys, which is kind of fitting to today's pre-speech. This is the book I was talking about, by the way, Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules of Life. I would say in terms of English, this is a difficult book for me to read. I would give it a 7 out of 10, I would say, for my pretty basic understanding of the language, specifically with topics outside of poker. If you don't like reading, you can also check out a YouTube lecture, 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson. That was also quite insightful. I just want to mention, like, that yesterday I lost 10 buy-ins at PLO 500. Wasn't great. It happens to me as well, right? Like 5K down, 10 buy-ins. And man, it was Friday night, which means people suck. It's crazy against what kind of players I lost these 10 buy-ins. But at the end of the day, like, I was very frustrated going to bed. Some guys ask me all the time on stream or even here in the mastermind, do you tilt? Are you frustrated? Yes, I mean, it happens. Of course, nobody likes to lose 10 buy-ins. But two things. Number one, how long does it take for you to recover? And for me personally, recovering emotionally happens also physically first, which means you go to bed and you recover, right? And then I wake up and work out, and I just recover while I'm working out emotionally as well. But one way or one reason why I recover also really fast is because when I play against these guys and I see all these massive mistakes they're making, and I'm not even talking about professionals, I talk about just the randos that I lost to yesterday night on a Friday at 3 a.m. in the morning, I just realized for myself, like, these guys suck. Like, I'm gonna win. I didn't win yesterday, but I'm gonna win. I am going to win. I already won yesterday in EV, and I'm just gonna continuously focus and crush. And I think when you feel that edge, it really helps you with the momentum. So get yourself in an environment as often as possible, specifically in the beginning where your mindset is maybe a little bit more fearful, that where you are crushing. And live poker is the perfect environment because you see people you see people in front of you. You like when I went to Vegas for one of, like last year, for example, and I looked down at these 25, 50 or 5100 PLO tables. I'm talking 5100 blinds, right? Like PLO 10K, PLO 5K. I look at the table and I'm like, man, this is like, there's no Barry Sweet here. This is not Cobus. Like these are like 50 year olds. Like how, what are the odds that these guys crush? What are the odds these guys have any understanding of like the ranges and whatnot? Like I'm in a good place. And when you lose and you feel that edge while you're playing, you go back home with a little bit more confidence because you realize, hey, if I'm keeping, like if I keep working, if I'm doing things as I already did, I'm gonna end up on top. So live games, because you can see your opponents, you can realize that these guys aren't the study nerds, like you're gonna come out on top at the end of the day. And when you are on a short bankroll, and let's say you have a couple of $1,000, it makes sense if you have a local game to hop into the 1-2 and to hop into the 5-5 and play some poker there to build up your bankroll, even if that means sometimes to play no limit hold'em. I personally, in 2000, and I went pro in 2011, and mid-2011, where I built up my bankroll a little bit, maybe to like 50K, from like 10K to 50K through online PLO, I started playing 5-10 at the local casino, no limit hold'em, because these guys were just so bad. And I increased my bankroll. I started with $50,000 in 2011, like at the end of the year, actually in September. And I won like 75K in 3 months at 5-10. I had a huge run, of course, but these guys sucked. Like they were not good. And it helps you to boost up your bankroll if you get into a soft environment. So look a little bit outside the scope sometimes and think practical. How can I improve my bankroll? Even if it means I have to play no limit, even if you want to take a shot at a PLO tournament online, which we're going to talk about later on as well, because they are so soft, and trying to boost up your bankroll in the right environment. Awesome. Yeah, I also remember when I used to play a lot of live poker. Like there were periods in my professional career where I played mainly live poker. And that was, I think the last period was in like 2015, S16. I pretty much burned out after the 100K challenge on Twitch. I streamed like 5-6 days a week. I was super tired. I was just like, oh man, I don't want to play online anymore. I'm just going to play live for a while. And I just had my driving license, so I just drove to the casino, which was an hour away, like every day for 3 months, basically. And one thing I also realized, it's not only the theoretical understanding that you have, but it's also people get tired. And it felt so, the edge felt so massive, because when I compared the lives and the lifestyles of myself and my opponents, it seemed incredibly unfair. Like I wake up at, when I was playing live poker in Switzerland, the casino opens at 8 p.m. for poker players. I mean, the poker tables open at 8 p.m. and they go until like 4 a.m. in the morning. So I come back at 6 a.m. I sleep until I want, right? So I sleep until like 2 p.m., 3 p.m., go to the gym, and then go to the, like eat something and go to the casino and start my session. I'm pumped, I'm focused, I'm in there. And my opponents, they come back, like they come in from like an 8-10 hour shift at work. They woke up at like 8 a.m. in the morning, and imagine what happens around midnight. Like I'm laser focused on the table. I'm in a good mood. I'm like physically in good shape. I ate the right things. They get tired, and when people get tired and frustrated, they make massive mistakes and start gambling. And these are spots where they theoretically even have a decent understanding potentially, but suddenly it goes out of the window and they just stack off light for like a couple of buy-ins. And that's also where a lot of the edges are generated. So don't underestimate also your lifestyle edges that you have as a professional poker player, that you also can optimize if you're not a professional poker player. Just be like awake, be fit, be in a better condition than your opponents, basically. And we get started right away here with Yurek1. He says, I wonder why you never use equities for hands or ranges in the videos or forums. Do you consider it's not necessary or potentially misguiding the audience? Or because Monker Solver doesn't use to base his play this way? Yeah, so that is a great question, because back in the days when we didn't have Monker Solver, I used to do most of the analysis in PokerJuice. And PokerJuice is a tool that mainly focuses on equities in play. But one thing that's important to realize is that equities doesn't equal EV. It doesn't equal the expected value. There's a correlation, but it's not the same thing. And we used to focus mainly on equity because that was the best thing at our hand. But once PO Solver got introduced, the no limit solver, suddenly people start realizing that some combos, they have a lot of EV and some combos they don't. It's not necessarily related to the fact or to how much equity they have. It might be just the blockers. It just might be the range. And these days, I would highly recommend everyone to think about EV a lot more than equity. For example, is this a high EV board or is it a low EV board for my range? Is this hand a high EV hand or not, based on all the factors, which means streets left to play, position I'm in, SBR, blockers on the flop, future blockers, my opponent's range. There are a lot of factors that involve that are involved in our decision making that are outside of equity, but they heavily influence EV. And EV is obviously something more complex to wrap your head around it. But that's what we're doing here in the mastermind. I'm trying to not get you too much focused on the equities, although in certain scenarios they matter a lot. For example, stack off equity, sure, that's the thing that is most important in these shove or fold situations. But apart from that, whenever there are multiple streets left to be played, you need to look at additional factors. And Jurek is mentioning here backdoor flush draws and the importance of that. And here's the thing, backdoor flush draws give us a boost of, let's say, 3% equity, raw equity. But they give us a boost in EV that is certainly higher than just 3% additional from the pot or 3% equity difference. And the reason is because it adds playability. It gives us options to apply pressure to our opponents to double barrel or call twice and then bluff the river, which is not part of the equity, right? Bluffing the river, but it's part of the EV. And that's why playability features, blockers, have a certain contribution to our expected value that is not considered in the equity. And therefore, the equation is much more well-rounded if you use equity, but don't depend only on equity. And it's important to also connect that with bet sizing and understanding the advantage of polarity, understanding the advantage of range asymmetries. When you have the best hands much more often than your opponent, the pot share increases, the payoff asymmetries increase because there are streets left to play. And you're going to have such a strong hand so often that your opponent is going to lose a lot of the share of the pot really frequently. That is, again, outside of the scope of raw equity. And it usually comes into play when there are multiple streets left to be played and when there are two ranges in play that are very asymmetric. Bet sizing is something that is hugely underestimated, specifically in PLO, where how much you bet on the flop influences so much how much you can bet on the river, because you can't overbet. That a lot of the, like 95% of players are using a totally incorrect bet sizing in those high SBR situations. And we want to help you guys to improve that and improve ourselves as well. So whenever I try to think about improving conceptually, which means the bigger picture of how to think about poker in 2018, I usually watch the Sauce videos, right? Sauce, who's teaching on Run It Once, No Limit Hold'em Only, has really concise thoughts about the way he thinks about poker I just watched actually a video before this live stream, and he talks about, oh, is this a high EV board for me or for him? Do I understand the spot very well or not? So I hope you guys understand that these questions are in a much higher level of complexity, but also importance and relevance to higher poker understanding than thinking about equities in play. And maybe we come also from a background where we already have a lot of experience running stack off simulations. Like the three of us, we all have been running Poker Juice Sims in the past, and we understand what hands, generally speaking, can get it in and have enough equity. What does it mean to have an SBR2? How much equity is required if you have a little bit of fold equity or no fold equity, and whether our hand is good enough? So for us, it mainly comes up to the question, how many hands should we slow play? How many hands should we apply pressure with and bluff? And that is often related to the raw equities of the range versus range play, which means if you're in a 3-bet pot and the flop comes beneficial for your range, it means bluff aggressively. And if the board is very bad, it means slow play a lot and check a lot of your marginal hands as well. So that's why we are mainly focused on, is this a high EV board, low EV board? And when equities come into play, it is much more superficial and not on the same level of importance, basically. So this is obviously a complex topic, but hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea, Jurek, where equity is placed these days in terms of importance. And of course, much more about this is following the next couple of weeks here